have the Aboriginal Child Placement Principle, and that is enacted differently in every state. And one of the key components of that is children are to be kept within family. But one of the things we need to do really well is support families to keep children. So that real early intervention, looking at the children going to kinder or daycare, things like that, so they're actually progressing or developmentally coming along. The other aspect is if families are struggling, then where are the services that come in early to help so children aren't removed?
And it was recently National Child Protection Week.
That week is around looking at the child protection system. For us at SNAKE, it's a time to reflect the community-led support for the systems in place for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander kids. So, you know, we're slowly changing over time. We're just getting laws and policies into child protection that actually protect the rights for Aboriginal children.
And is it a national agreement from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander agencies and people working in this area of things that need to happen to go forward? And is the government listening to what you're saying, do you think?
We do actually have a strategy called Family Matters, Kids Safe in Culture, Not in Care. And that's a strong evidence-based approach. So we're trying to eliminate over-representation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children in out-of-home care by 2040. So what part of that campaign focuses on is full compliance with the Aboriginal Child Placement Principle, so that children are getting critical connections needed with community, they're understanding their culture, they're actually forming their own identity of themselves. So I guess that's what we're pushing at the moment. That's in every state. We have the Family Matters campaign happening, and that is a group of Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people, and what they're trying to do is influence government for change around that area.
Do you think that too many children are being removed from their families unnecessarily?
I think risk is risk at the end of the day, and how that's assessed, I guess, is it being assessed through a cultural lens? I guess if a child needs to be removed, are we doing the work to make sure that child gets back to community? And are we keeping them within community if we remove them? So the work needs to be done with the family, with the child, and then brought together on the family, you know, sort of that work then being done about being brought back together. Not all cases, you know, could possibly work like that, but I guess majority is around family support, really good intensive family support, really good therapy for the child. And then in what capacity do we bring these children back together so we can actually have the child at home with family?
When I hear about all these statistics of child removal, where are these children going? What sort of families are putting their hands up? Are they non-Indigenous families putting their hand up to foster the children? How do we know where the children actually are?
Yeah, so I guess some children get, you know, have they identified? So are they Aboriginal on the system? Like that, some of that stuff we don't know. The report on government services in 2016 shows that nationally 32.9% of children out of home care, that's almost 5,000, are not placed in accordance with the placement principle. And that's a figure that has been trending upwards for the last few years. If children aren't in kinship placements, where are they being placed? So are they being placed with non-Aboriginal people, foster carers? And if they are in that placement, is that placement culturally suitable and culturally safe for that child? But then at the same point, whilst they're in that placement, are they still keeping connections with family and community? And is their culture, the cultural rights being adhered to while they're in care? But the rate, yeah, the rate is rising. And it's harder and harder to find kinship placements. Would you, as an Aboriginal person who already has children, want to be assessed by a white system to take a child, because then your parenting capacity is judged as well from a system that used to remove our children. So it's really tricky because people would like to care more, I guess, for their family, but at the same token, you have to go through a white system and a white assessment to be able to care for your family. I guess one of the things is we know with a lot of our people, the high rates of justice involvement. And sometimes we can, you know, it might be something from when they were 17, they were a teenager themselves and they may be 40. That may stop them from caring. So we have to be able to justify sorts of these things. Sometimes you want to take on your family because they're your family, you know, and that's sort of the Aboriginal way. But the department might assess that, you know, don't have the capacity to do that because you've already got four kids within your care. Kinship is assessed a little bit differently to foster care, but it doesn't mean that the child is at less risk because of that. I believe, and I'm saying this, you know, sort of on behalf of SNAG, is that if a child is to go be placed in a foster care placement with a non-Indigenous person, then there needs to be a cultural assessment of that placement. There needs to be training, there needs to be constant supervision around culturally what is that child's rights being met. And I guess some of that work is really difficult considering how many children we've got in the out-of-home care system. In Victoria, every child should have a cultural support plan, but have they got them? And if they have, do the carers really understand what that means if they're not Aboriginal? So is it brought to life for the child?
Your annual conference is coming up again next year. Can you tell us a little bit more about that conference?
That will be at Canberra Convention Centre between the 12th and 14th of September in 2017. And that conference will coincide with the 20th year anniversary of the Bringing Them Home report. And the conference will centre around that anniversary to raise awareness and discussions of the ongoing child removal and the causes and consequences for our children's families and communities. So please have a look at our website and think about going. We get over 1,000 delegates every year and we have some amazing concurrent sessions and workshops and international speakers and things like that. So everybody catches up with each other from other states and we share ideas and things like that, so it's great. It's a good gathering of actually of a lot of Aboriginal people talking about their programs and what works really well.
If someone wants to become a kinship carer, how do they go about that?
Generally, they're assessed through the department. This is in Victoria. If you have a family member, a child goes into care, I'd be contacting the local statutory authorities in that area saying, hey, I'll put my hand up for our child, and really just making sure that you're there at decision time and meetings and there for the child if they are even put into care. Once a child's put into care, doesn't mean they can't be moved to a kinship place. So there's always hope in getting family back with family. But I would be the strongest advocate for that child in your own family.